Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Let's get an update in the world of news. It's time for a Dawn Stensland Big 3 at 9.
It's the Big 3 and 9 on Kale and Company.
Big 3 at 9 this Thursday, June 27th. A manhunt right now. This is a developing story. Three robbers had fired shots at a witness while they were running away from a holdup at the Family Dollar store on McDade Boulevard. This is Ridley Township, Delco. It happened, it all began last night, about 9:15-ish. Last night, the witness was not hit, dodging the bullets as those gunmen, the thieves, drove off with cash and cigarettes. Police say they tracked down the getaway car to Cobbs Creek Parkway in Southwest Philadelphia. So not a novel situation where we have thieves and gunmen from Philadelphia heading into the suburbs, such as Delaware County. Some of the cash that they stole from the dollar store actually littered the roadway. So officers say they took one suspect into custody, and they're searching right now for the two others who were quite violent, firing shots at the, trying to take out a witness so that nobody could ID them. But they did get off with a lot of cash and cigarettes. That's what they were after.
Yeah. And so they stole $38, and six of it fell out the back of the truck as they're getting away. You know, if you're going to commit a robbery of a store, like the last thing you probably want to rob is a dollar store. I mean, you know, it's like a negotiation, right? You start high and you work your way down.
Yeah.
Who the hell robs a dollar store?
But, well, it's Bidenomics, I guess.
Well, it's Bidenomics. I'm robbing a jewelry store. Right?
Jeez.
This is like Home Alone, where Marv wants to rob a candy store. 9-year-olds rob candy stores, Marv.
Unbelievable.
Was that Home Alone 2?
It was.
I just the movies you reference are just...
Yeah.
They make me want to throw something.
Yeah. You're not alone.
Sorry. Sorry, Don.
I will say, under the umbrella of breaking news, we do have a crash shutting down part of I-95 North. So it's a crash involving two tractor trailers.
Oh, for God's
sake. Major cleanup, major traffic delays, Wilmington, Delaware, I-95 North overpass.
Hasn't 95 been through enough?
I know.
I mean, from collapses to misspellings. Poor 95.
A federal court in Philadelphia, ground zero, taking national attention here, as we look at the fact that they're evaluating some claims by dozens of patients who claim that these weight loss drugs like Ozempic, Wegovy, similar products, that they actually suffered, those patients suffered gastrointestinal problems after taking these medications. And they're suing now in federal court here in Philadelphia that these companies failed to properly warn patients about all the risks. So these dozens of patients from across the country, but most of the claims were in Pennsylvania. So that's why they settled upon the fact that they would combine all these different lawsuits with all these different weight loss, you know, Ozempic, Wegovy, similar products. So they're combining it into one suit and they're putting it in one courtroom, but putting the weight loss drugs in general on trial.
Oh, wow.
And they're claiming that the side effects are, you know, vomiting, weakness, constipation, bowel obstruction, and that in some cases, these side effects can be very serious.
Yeah. I know we talk a lot about, you know, being overweight, obesity, and stuff like that, but this is, again, another one of those reasons. And I know some people have tried and it just doesn't work, but, you know, if you just have the discipline to, you know, eat healthy and work out and do it the hard way, you won't have to go through these awful stories like this.
Well, I'm sure this drug hits near and dear to your heart, Dawn, because this is meant for
diabetics.
Yes, yeah. Right? So, like, people are using it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing I will say, the drug they initially said was meant for type 2 diabetics.
Oh, yes.
Because type 2 is one that generally speaking is an issue where people have are obese and or are overweight, messing up the system generally, but not always. So there are hybrids, unfortunately, of all of these things. And I learn more and more every single day. But the semaglutide, the only reason I knew about that medication was that when Michael was recently, fairly recently diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, which is the kind that like babies get, you know, it was just unusual with Michael because he was a 16-year-old. But a really fit, athletic, healthy kid. And that's that the type ones just strikes healthy, I mean, babies.
Is David diabetic as well or is Michael?
No.
Okay.
Just that's what I'm saying. No family history.
Yep.
And that's a whole nother story. But as far as this goes, semaglutide, an injection, was what we were given as the, you know, if you think of the fire extinguisher. So if he, they said, if he goes way too low with his blood, his glucose levels, that's when you can die, especially in your sleep.
Right.
And they gave us, you know, these boxes of semaglutide that you would inject into his system that would bring up the blood sugar. So then all of a sudden they gave us this other thing and the semaglutide fairly recently went away. And I was like, well, that's weird that they're changing this into an inhalant, Besquami, it's called, where you're going to save the life of somebody who's a type 1 diabetic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, guess what? Guess what is the weight loss drug for non-type 1 diabetics? Semaglutide.
Uh-huh.
So that was weird to me that they were taking up the market and saying, no, 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 this actually helped. So they discovered that semaglutide was something they could use in other individuals to save these lives.
Gotcha.
I just think what happened here and what we should always be careful of is something that's meant as an emergency, whatever it is, you have to weigh any kind of medication, it has its risks.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Of course.
My dad would tell, I mean, he's in his late 80s and he would tell you that's why he doesn't take so much as an Aleve. He takes zero prescription medication.
So he doesn't even take like over-the-counter anti-inflammatories?
Nope.
Wow.
Nothing.
Ever or just now?
Well, he will take it rarely.
Okay.
Rarely in his life. Wow. He doesn't trust any of it.
Yeah, I try to avoid a lot of that stuff too. The only time I take like Tylenol or Aleve, obviously if I have a headache during the show, but I always do after a round of golf just because of my wrists and my arms and my back or whatever. But other than that, like my wife's always like, "Oh, just take this, just take that." And I'm like, I really don't want to.
I agree with you. I agree with you. I don't take anything that I don't absolutely have to.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's smart.
Yep.
And find out why you have a headache. It's probably you're dehydrated.
Now, does he take like vitamins like or anything like turmeric or magnesium or anything like that? Fish oil?
He did for a while. He did all that stuff.
Okay.
But, you know, he might, like my sister, like he was on like Nature's Balance. I don't know if he still does that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But other than that, he's not really a supplement kind of a guy.
We're going to see him on those Nature's Balance commercials on Fox News. I take the fruit and the vegetable.
Yeah. But he just says, well, I eat fruits and veggies.
Yes.
I eat them.
It's a lot better.
Yes.
Speaking of eating, number three in the big three, Philadelphia is one of the best pizzas in the nation. So the New York Times list of 22 best pizza places in America, and it's significant that the New York Times recognizes Philadelphia, San Lucas Pizza on South Bouvier Street in Philadelphia, number one.
How about that?
Pizza.
Never heard of it.
Yeah.
What's it called?
S-A-N, San Lucas Pizza.
San Lucas. Okay.
In Philadelphia.
Coal-fired, I'm guessing?
South Philly Pizzeria.
Mm-hmm.
And it opened in 2005 by Valentin Pellerero and his wife, Eva Mendez. And they're traditional pies, but the menu also has a lot of new recipes inspired by... Because I think Eva... I think Eva may be Mexican, of Mexican heritage.
Mm.
So they have some... I'm going to have to go there now, I have to say. So she has some Mexican-inspired cuisine mixed with her husband, Italian. So that's pretty cool.
Wonder what they're charging for a large pie.
Oh, that's, I don't know.
Be interesting to know.
If they're listeners, because, you know, we reach a lot of people.
Yeah, I've heard that.
If they're listeners, we would love to try.
Yeah,
try
drop off a pie. We'll do a taste test right on the air.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
It's the best pizza?
That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
Wow.
Take that, New York.
Holy moly. I love that.
Take that, Chicago, with your deep dish.
Yeah.
Road trip?
Road trip.
Oh, I mean, how far is it from here?
It's just South Philly.
Yeah.
It's like not really even... Does that even count as a road trip?
No.
That's your big three.
I'm going to send a producer down there. And
if you guys leave at 10 o'clock...
We don't have any producers.
Yeah, I know.
How's the hiring process? How's the interviewing going?
I know. Can we talk about this? You're saying, like, Henry... All of our producers have better lives than we have.
I know. He's in Ireland.
Yeah.
He's in Ireland.
Well, he's on the DiRenzo plan.
What is happening?
He just turned 25. Yeah. And he's like... Now, to his credit, he's like, you know, he's texting me like 3 o'clock in the morning, Monday, going, "Hey, Dawn, you know, your interviews. I'm changing some times. McCormick's Senate candidate, McCormick, we're changing his time." So he is working actively. So I will you got to give him credit to the dedication here. He's like traveling, partying. He's in Ireland and England and the UK, but he's still. Helping with the shows.
So if we're
got to say that
if we're taking inventory of the producers, he's in Ireland.
Yeah,
Anthony DiRenzo went to every big sporting event for the last 2 years
and is now working for Fox. Yeah,
is now working as Fox. And Phil Omquist has been to every major musical venue and concert under the sun, up and down the East Coast, mostly in New York, over the last 9 months that he's been on this show.
Yeah, they all live better lives than we do.
Yeah, and meanwhile, I'm griping about spending $30 on a pizza.
See. This is weird, you know.
Remarkable.
That's your big three.
San Lucas Pizza, right?
San Lucas.
San Lucas.
All right, let's do it.
It looks like from the outside, it looks like a hole in the wall, which you know always has the best pizzas.
Yes.
They always have the greatest pizzas.
Right, the one that looks too nice
flashy,
is probably trash.
100%. You're 100% correct.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable.
All right. Morning mystery movie clip coming up in just about 5 minutes. So let's get you the Hawk Tua girl update that we've been promising you. Stalker found this courtesy of Rolling Stone. She has already sold. And by the way, I'm assuming, because you guys played this with Bruno, correct? Or was this with Opelka?
I don't know if we played her or not.
Okay.
It's a little, you know, for the older audience, dicey. I don't want to, you
right.
know. For the people who know, they know. For the people who don't, don't look it up.
IYK, if you know, you know, right?
Yeah.
So the Hulk Tua girl that went viral, and I know that was a big thing when I was out last week, and we talked about it a little bit. And Dawn, you've been imitating her a little bit.
have you? Good for you.
Well, at least verbally. Now she's apparently sold $65,000 worth of merchandise.
God.
So this, for those who don't know, the now immortal phrase I'm reading here directly from Rolling Stone, Hawk Tua was coined by Haley Welch, a young woman on June 11th who made internet history during a Woman on the Street interview with the content creators Tim and D TV. In the clip, Welch is asked a bunch of R-rated questions, preferred this, that, and the other thing, and she gives this quote that is now going to live forever on social media and the internet, saying, "You got to give him that Hawk Tua and spit on that thing," end quote. So now,
well, there you go.
Everybody,
we don't need to play because you just said it.
Right. And this is apparently going from Joe Rogan to Howard Stern to Phillies outfielder Bryce Harper. And this has become such a massive story that she's cashing in. And look good for her. I mean, hooray capitalism, right?
What a dumb time we live in.
So apparently there are fathead threads out there where they are selling these Hawk Tua 24 hats, which are currently available in 14 colors, and they'll cost you $32.78 a piece. A $50 signed version with a leather patch currently has already sold out. And there's also interest from everyone, from large-scale media networks to even the WWE.
Of course.
Estimates that the shop has so far sold a little more than 2,000 of the hats. And when you add up the math, 2,000 of those times 32.78 comes to just about $65,000. And they've also sold shirts. I mean, this is a full-fledged merch store.
We are so dumb.
I mean,
we are so dumb as a society.
They've blown right past the Kale and Company t-shirts. What are we doing wrong?
Well, we don't have, come on. It's just,
we need to rethink our merchandising efforts. Maybe we could put the Hawk. Maybe we should partner with her. We'll sell her shirts in our merch store, and we'll do a 50-50 revenue split.
What do you think her parents are thinking these days, especially her father?
Well, if it was me, I'd be trying to cash in on it.
No, you wouldn't. But
she's an adult. Now, if she was a minor, I would be appalled.
Nick,
and I would never. I would put the kibosh on it.
Dawn,
I'd go to the internet police and say, "Take that down."
Dawn, help me out here.
Dawn's got no comment.
I will say this. I've gone back and forth because originally when I saw it, I'm like, "Oh, great!" I said, "What you said?" Her parents must be really proud. And then I was impressed by the fact that if you watch the full video, and there are people saying, "Look, she's not." You know, that she was joking around, and even if you watch the whole thing, her friend is like, oh, and they're kind of giggly and stuff like that. So she has come out and said, look, she had the quote, I'm not some pillow princess. You know, this is not me, and I'm actually, you know. So I don't know. I think she has quite the personality. She was trying to be shocking.
Yeah.
But I think that the fact, actions speak louder than words, the fact that she erased all of her social media,
mm-hmm.
and the place that she chose to sell t-shirts was this mom and pop, like grandparent kind of people who, you know, the married couple that, you know, are kind of well known in Nashville, Tennessee, and her family knew, and she was like, okay, I know them and I trust them.
Mm-hmm.
So she doesn't. I don't know. I just think she was in that moment of just being silly and saying something she knew would be shocking and had no idea.
Well, yeah.
that it would go international.
And just to show you how things have flipped politically, it seems like those on the right are enjoying it and having a good time with it, and those on the left that are offended by everything under the sun have had a big issue with this. Like, I guarantee you, the lady that interviewed Bill Maher in that clip, if she saw the Hawk Tua clip, she'd probably be like so appalled by it and be outraged by it. It's really remarkable how, like, I always thought when I was younger that conservatives and Republicans had to stick up their butt and just everything triggered them.
Yep.
Now it's totally flipped.
Agreed.
Isn't that wild?
Agreed. I agree with you. I say that all the time. It's the left who are the crybabies.
They're the party poopers.
Oh, censor this now.
Yes.
We need parental advisory stickers. Oh, my God. Somebody's, our ears might hear Hawk, you know.
I think I don't know. I,
like,
retweeted.
People don't have sex. And, yeah. You know, come on.
I retweeted one thing, or I tweeted something about it, and I got one reply like, don't you have daughters? I'm like, it's not real life. My God. People, just relax. You're going to give yourself a stroke.
Okay, I just sent you guys, because this was like the full video, but I didn't realize until I looked at this on a full big computer screen.
Uh-oh.
I'll say this. Her dress that she's wearing when she's interviewed is a cute summer dress.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the kind of dress that it's like a halter, but you can't really wear a bra with it.
Right.
Mm.
And it's sheer.
Yeah, it looks much better than the guy that wore the halter top in our last TikTok video from 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but part of this, I'm just going to say, yes, she's an attractive young lady, and I don't know if she's underage. She could be. She could be 16. She could be from 16 to 25.
Yeah, she's not 16. I think she's definitely of age.
Yeah.
Greg?
I'm going to go 21.
Greg, I'm around 16-year-old girls.
They look a lot older these days, don't they?
I know.
Trust me. I mean, you know, like that. I mean, Nick Cale has. You have no idea what you're in. These 15 and 16 year old girls.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my goodness.
My daughters are 9, but when they do their hair a certain way for their dance dance competitions and their makeup,
mm-hmm.
like they're 9 and they look like they're 17.
Yeah. No, this Hawk Tua girl, again, I have no idea of her age. She could be anywhere. I'm not kidding you. From 16 to 26. But what you notice about her, she is a natural young woman. She doesn't appear to have like any or very little makeup.
Mm-hmm.
She is naturally a beautiful young woman.
Yep.
And she's just funny. And she, you know, I think she was trying to be silly. And I don't think she's as Mama Zioli would say, a hua. I don't think she's that. I think I don't. I think she was just being silly.
Dawn always finds the good in everybody.
I do. And I... Well,
but somewhere out there, somebody's really mad.
I'll just remind you that Kim Kardashian, remember, made her fame and is a billionaire.
We all know how she made her fame.
It was with a sex tape.
A law degree.
Right?
Yeah.
And this young lady, all she did was make a, you know, it was a vulgar, you know, joke.
Right.
I'm going to spit on that thing, hock to a, right? And makes that vulgar thing. But this girl, that's all she did.
Yeah.
It was a statement. So if you want to go there, then look at the original hock to a girl, which was probably Kim Kardashian.
Right.
What?
No, I'm just saying that, like, it's
great analysis, Dawn.
Dawn's analysis or analyzing this this viral clip that is
nothing like breaking down film.
But
people do it for a living.
But I think that part of this is I think this whole thing and it weaves in a lot of what, you know, Nick and Greg, what you've said, that people are like sick and tired of being bombarded by, you know, quite frankly, images on that have gone viral of biological males with a beard wearing a dress.
Mm-hmm.
And being bombarded like the mom who might be charged with a hate crime because she's on a plane and misgenders, somebody.
Yep.
I just think people crave just natural born, you know, female.
Sex.
It's just, yes. And the fact that she likes,
thank God you're saying
she
this.
Likes guys. She likes men. And whether she's, I don't think she is somebody who's necessarily a promiscuous individual, but that she fantasizes about,
right.
You know what I mean? Being with a man,
right.
and getting just, married and having babies, like
just
ooh,
not with just
shame
not,
on her,
just,
you know?
Just not with Will Kane.
Tom Walsh on the YouTube chat says that Kamala is the OG Octo.
Oh, dear.
They did. Okay.
How dare they?
We've gone off the deep end. All right.
I know.
Let's do this. Yeah.
Darn it, we have a debate tonight, folks.
You know by now, if I needed windows, doors, or siding, I would only trust the Chapman team. I want you to think of the Chapmans if you're thinking about replacing your current stucco remediation, or some new siding. I would trust nobody else with this important investment in your home. And these certified Chapman installers, they're the professionals you want on the job. Trust me. Obviously, if you're thinking about changing the stucco and updating it with James Hardie plank or all of the beautiful vinyl siding choices, it's going to add beauty and boost the value of your home. If you or somebody you know are looking for windows, doors, siding, shutters, all the hardware choices, the stucco remediation, any of this, you can call, you can text 610-431-8898. Take a virtual tour online, ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
What's on the cut sheet, part two?
What's on the cut sheet?
Part two.
I think the question is going to be, is will I have more cuts today or tomorrow? Because I have like 25 cuts today, or I had 25 cuts today, and tomorrow's the debate. So
I'm going to go over 25 for tomorrow.
Over 25.
That's right.
You.
That's right.
Phil, I just sent you this. This is cut 24. If you have it, cool. If you don't, it's fine too. So we talked a lot about SCOTUS leaking the draft post. Mm-hmm. For the abortion ruling in Idaho. Dawn, help me out here. This is doctors can perform medical emergencies, right? Is that the ruling?
Yes. The truth is, in all states across America, doctors have the discretion. If a woman's life is in danger,
yep.
It is perfectly legal in this country, in any city across America, in any state, that they're going to save the life of the mother. In this case, doctors here had pushed this and said, well, it really doesn't quite clarify it, and we could be sued, or we could be held criminally liable by the state, et cetera, et cetera. And that's why this thing went to the court. But many advocates are saying this is another one of those cases where this is, you know, somebody trying to squeeze this through to say, oh, no, doctors don't have absolute immunity. Yeah, they do. If a woman's life is, you know, honest to God, you know, you have a woman coming into the emergency department, et cetera, they do have discretion.
Mm-hmm.
But in this one, it appears that the court is going to say, yes, save their life. Yeah. Save the woman's life.
Right.
Yes, that's what it appears that they're going to do.
Yep.
And I don't think that's a surprise.
Mm-hmm. Cut 24 here, Phil. This is Chuck Todd saying the quiet part out loud. In political terms of this, He says that there are folks in the Biden campaign that were hoping for a different decision on this because, you know, let's face it, in political terms, it's rallying the troops.
Yeah.
We say that all the time.
It fires up the base.
You know, we, Don and I, we've all been saying on this show that, you know, the outcome of this election could have been determined by what the Supreme Court ruled on different things. And so far for the Biden crowd, the Supreme Court has ruled in their favor. I mean, I say it in their favor, but, you know, for their side, way more than for the other side. So I don't know if this is rallying the troops like they thought it was going to.
Right.
This is Cut 24, Phil, go.
There is a debate tomorrow where abortion is a huge issue in this country and particularly for the Biden White House.
Well, in raw political terms, Chris, there are folks in the Biden campaign that were hoping for a different decision out of Idaho, right? They would never say it on the record because it puts people's lives at risk. But there was certainly, it certainly makes the case they want to make a lot cleaner and easier when it comes to judges and that issue. So in some ways, this would take, if this ruling is indeed one that's, say, released tomorrow morning now, and for all we know, maybe they weren't ever planning on doing it tomorrow morning, but they will now, right? Given that it's they've already shown us something we don't know for sure.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is they were probably hoping that they would be able to rant and rave about this because, I mean, here's the headline on NBCNews.com's website. Supreme Court acknowledges accidentally posting Idaho abortion case document that may preview a narrow Biden administration win. I think in reality, this is great for the other side of the aisle because now all of a sudden, you know, what's worked against you, this is something that the Biden administration can't just plaster all over ads and things like that. I think Chuck Todd is actually spot on with that, which, by the way, I thought he retired. What's he doing back in the limelight?
Well, they kicked him out of
Sunday show.
They kicked him out of the Sunday show.
That's right.
So he's still boring everybody on
weekdays.
Weekdays, yeah. Or MSNBC, whenever he wants to give his opinion on something. Okay, this is, I teased this earlier, this is New York City Councilwoman. By the way, I'm going to play that Taylor Swift video. It's not Taylor Swift, but it's a commercial from 1981 that all the Swifties are freaking out of because they think it's the reincarnation or whatever of Taylor Swift. So get over to YouTube, youtube.com/at1210WPHD. I'll play it in like 4 minutes. The New York City Councilwoman Mercedes Narcissi.
Is she narcissistic?
Narcissistic. Releases a bill to decriminalize jaywalking in the city because she thinks it targets non-whites. This is Cut 17. Phil, go.
Press reports and data analysis from the council have found that jaywalking tickets are disproportionately given to Black and Latino New Yorkers. Has there been any analysis or review to determine the cause of this disparity? And certainly no one can claim that only Black and Latino jaywalkers ever jaywalk. So just wanting to understand that a bit better.
I don't understand what she's...
I have no idea.
She's basically saying that, yeah. I guess, Black and Hispanics are
so this is racial profiling, basically.
Have you ever seen anybody ticketed for jaywalking?
No. When's the last time you... Have you jaywalked recently?
Probably.
I mean, these are our elected officials that we're paying. And of all the things that they could go to battle for and fight over and try to do good, we're concerned about jaywalking.
I know. It's crazy to me.
Oh, jeez.
It's absolutely crazy to me.
I just wish these people would go away.
They won't, though.
No.
No, they won't.
No, they won't.
All right. Nick, for the people who can't get over to YouTube, if you want to describe this, this is what the internet is calling a Taylor Swift lookalike from a 1981 ad from Glamour Gals Dolls.
I used to subscribe to that.
It has some social media sleuths seeing double while the bubbly actress in the 1981 TV spot bears an uncanny resemblance to Taylor Swift. Mm-hmm. So this commercial would have been out 8 years before she was born.
Yes.
And the internet is all abuzz because apparently it looks exactly like Taylor Swift. I will let you guys decide.
Okay. 43 years ago.
Cut 18, Phil, go.
The Glamour Gals collection.
I mean,
look at that hair.
I mean,
Yeah. Jesse and fancy formal.
Let's rewind the clip 1 second because they
just want to freeze.
They go through it too quickly here.
Yeah, let's freeze the 1981 gal
one more time if you can get.
Gals collection.
Glamour
Gals. You can
Glamour Gals.
Purchase from any three.
Yeah, I guess there it does. Go. Yeah, I guess it does.
The lipstick, the eyes, the facial features, just the shape of the face.
Yeah.
And Taylor Swift's been known to, you know, wear the bangs a lot of times. We got to bring bangs back. Make bangs great again.
Yeah.
MBGA. I'm gonna get a.
I don't know. Let the people on the YouTube chat decide if that looks like Taylor Swift. I mean,
she's pretty hot. Stalker. Yeah. You in?
Would.
Dawn.
Would what?
Huh?
What?
Huh? Who said that?
How much wood could a woodchuck?
Yeah, exactly.
Could chuck wood.
It does look like her.
Yeah. It does.
Yeah, I agree. All right, we got Jason Kelce in the first hour, and now we got Taylor in the last hour. We do a little Travis too. We have a Travis update.
Former Illinois GOP rep Adam Kinzinger is still. He's not a thing anymore, is he? Like they trot him out all the time.
He's doing the tour again.
Yeah,
he was on. Where was he on?
He was. This was CBS News.
Yeah.
He says that Donald Trump's claim that President Biden will be on drugs at tonight's debate goes to show how desperate his team is.
Oh.
Cut 23, Phil, go.
Some news there today. Former Republican congressman, and he was also a member of the January 6th Select Committee, Adam Kinzinger, endorsed President Biden's reelection. And he also talked to you about something that the Trump campaign has tried to inject into the atmosphere around this, that, Biden will be on some sort of amphetamine or some sort of thing to jack him up for the debate performance. What did he tell you? That is to say, Kinzinger.
What he told me, Major, is that Trump tends to turn to conspiracies every time there's a piece of information that doesn't go his way. After all, this is something that Trump did in 2016 before the debates with Hillary Clinton and 2020 before his last debate with Joe Biden. Kinzinger insisted that it's not going to work this time. Take a listen to what he told me.
They're setting expectations that if Joe Biden does well and better than Donald Trump, it must be some outside influence like drugs. It's asinine. It's insane. It's disrespectful to the president of the United States, regardless of who's president. And it just goes to show how desperate they are.
I've talked to the Biden team quite a bit about this, Major, and while it frustrates them to hear an accusation hurled at President Biden that they say is completely baseless, not just by Trump, by the way, but by members of his team, they like to point out that that Joe Biden famously doesn't even drink. And so it's unlikely he's going to be using any foreign substances tomorrow or at any point in the future.
Well, Donald Trump doesn't drink either, so there's that. It's not completely asinine and insane, Mr. Kinzinger, with all due respect, sir, because we've had medical experts that have pointed out some of the things that make you believe he is on something. But let's think about this. And by the way, it's great political maneuvering from Trump to say and demand a drug test, because if they don't take one or they won't even acknowledge or address it if asked about it, it looks as if they have something to hide. But let's just assume for a moment that maybe Joe Biden, use the word allegedly in the past, like for the State of the Union, he did use something. But that's a big crowd. It's, you know, there's a lot of commotion. There's a lot of noise. Is it possible, if he has allegedly used it in the past, that he will not use it tonight based on the quiet setting that he is in? Does he need to have allegedly whatever he does in a spot where it's Trump, it's him, it's two moderators, and an empty television studio setting? I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see.
All right, guys. That's what I got for you.
That's all I got, too. All right. 9:49. Let's find out what's on tap for the Dawn Show at the top of the hour.
Well, we have accusations of a cover-up.
Uh-oh.
A cover-up alleged by, you know, Democrat lawmakers. This is in New York. Yet another girl was abducted and raped. And now, because an investigative journalist was looking into this, found out that in this case, the accused rapist, who, by the way, will be in court this morning, is an illegal person who came into this country from Turkey, crossed the border in California, came here as an asylum seeker, and now is charged with first-degree rape, kidnapping, other charges of this girl. And the community up in arms, this is Albany, New York. And so the question now, you know, as they're going back and forth, these sanctuary cities or sanctuary states, this is coming into play. So we're going to take a, we're going to zoom in on that one and look at all these different cases, and look at policy and the sanctuary policies, the Biden policy, all of that. So we'll definitely take a hard look at that one. There's a lot developing, a lot breaking. And remember, in 11 minutes, we could get more SCOTUS rulings. Will the J6 ruling that we've talked a lot about, will it be today?
I will bet that neither J6 or presidential immunity will happen before the debate.
That's so you think it could happen
tomorrow?
Tomorrow,
10 a.m.
Yes.
Tomorrow, 10 a.m., I'm guessing all of it's going to come down to.
Okay.
Which, if that's true, then I think it'll be really good for Trump.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure. Yep. So we've got people coming here illegally seeking a better life. In reality, they come here to rape young women. That's their MO. Cool.
All right. Well, on that, on that note,
sorry.
Let's do this.
On this day in music history.
Today, June 27th, we celebrate the heavenly birthday of Jim Fuller from the Safaris and Gilson Lavis from Squeeze, who's now 73. We also lost Pete Carr from the Muscle Shoals Rhythm Section in 2020. Chris Squire from Yes in 2015, and John Entwistle the Ox from The Who in 2002. Singles include Dream On by Aerosmith in 73, Love Will Tear Us Apart by Joy Division in 80, Cruel Summer by Bananarama in 83, and Wood by Alice in Chains in 1992.
Wood.
Albums include No Sleep Till Hammersmith by Motorhead in 81, Freak Out by the Mothers of Invention in 66, Cosmic Thing by the B-52s, as well as Danger Danger's debut, both in 1989. Also in 2004, the Beastie Boys were atop the U.S. album chart. In 71, New York City's Fillmore East closed. In 94, Aerosmith became the first major band to let fans download a full new track free from the internet. And in 56, Fats Domino recorded Blueberry Hill. But lastly, on this day in 1970... Queen, although billed as Smile at the time, played their very first show.
Wow.
For Kale and Company, I'm Phil Lundquist.
Well, how about that pool by Phil?
9:50 every day.
That's good great job, stuff.
Nice. Yep.
All right. Everybody, enjoy the debate tonight. We will break it down tomorrow. Dawn is up next, and Dawn right now has a word for Piazza Auto Group.
Yeah, because, well, today they've listed as one of the busiest travel days of the summer. I mean, this really kicks off road trip season for so many of us. But do you know if your vehicle is road trip ready? My friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles, they're going to help you make sure you and your family are safe on the roads this summer. The service centers of the Piazza Premium dealers not only handle all the regular stuff, the regular maintenance needs, but also they diagnose possible issues before they can occur. You want to schedule a service appointment online today. Visit PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com, P-I-A-Z-Z-A, PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com for that dealer nearest you, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware. Tell them Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.